Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website usefultrivia.com. Question number one. Which Johnny Cash song did an advertising company want to use for a hemorrhoids ad? Was that A, Ring of Fire, B, Cry, 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 C, Hurt, or D, All I Have to Do is Drive? All I Do is Drive. Which one of those was the one the advertising company wanted to use for a hemorrhoids advertisement? And question number two, which famous composer has two skulls in his tomb? Is that A, Igor Stravinsky, B, Joseph Haydn, C, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, or D, Franz Schubert? Hint, here's a snippet from one of this Austrian composer's better-known compositions, Emperor's Hymn. So, who is this famous composer with two skulls in his tomb? Was that Stravinsky, Haydn, Mozart, or Schubert? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com. And today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of November the 2nd. Well, it was on this very day back in 1961 that Bob Dylan made his Carnegie Hall debut in New York City. The show was seen by just 50 people who paid $2 each. Bob Dylan, Carnegie Hall, 1961 today. And it was 46 years ago today, 1972, that James Taylor and Carly Simon were married. They separated in 1982 and were divorced later. 1972, they were married. And in country, folk, and bluegrass music news, we have this article entitled, The Human Recorder, Down the Road, published in BluegrassMusicNC.com. How Leslie Riddle Changed Music Forever. Though you may have never heard of Leslie Ezley Riddle, 1905 to 1980, his fingerprints remain all over the foundation and cultivation of early 20th century American music. Hailing from Burnsville, Yancey County, Riddle crossed paths with A.P. Carter in the late 1920s in Bristol, Tennessee. Carter was in the midst of forming what would eventually become the Carter Family Band, 1927 to 1956, arguably the first mainstream act of modern American music, whose impact on the bluegrass, pop, country, rock, and gospel genres is immeasurable. Riddle and Carter would constantly traverse the back roads and deep pockets of southern Appalachia in search of melodies. They were, quote-unquote, song catchers, gathering the old-time tunes passed down through the generations, perhaps even newer selections never heard outside of a particular valley or cove. Carter would scribble down the lyrics while Riddle would learn and remember the musical notes of each melody with a razor-sharp precision. By reaching the Carter family songs collected from African-American musicians in eastern Tennessee, Leslie Riddle helped create that dynamic musical stew that is mountain music, renowned musicologist David Holt said. Mike Seeger would go on to record Riddle on numerous occasions, which resulted in the 1993 album Step by Step, Leslie Riddle Meets the Carter Family, Rounder Records, which has become a staple in the world of folk, bluegrass, and mountain music. Andrea Pocelli, singing Time to Say Goodbye, introduces our classical music news. It's an article published in Parade magazine on the 21st of October, 2018, entitled Walter Scott Asks Andrea Pocelli. The Italian-born tenor, 60, returns with his first album of new material in 14 years, C.S.I. October 26th, after receiving international acclaim for his performance of grand opera and classical music, he returns on the new album to his roots, with songs and ballads that celebrate love, faith, and family. What does the title C signify? We too often say no, but see, yes, is the word you say when you have your first kiss. When you agree with somebody, when you want to make someone feel good, see is the word you say every time things will end well. For 1,001 reasons, see is the expression of a positive, powerful feeling and emotion. Well, it's been 14 years since you recorded new material. Why so long? Well, finding worthwhile material is really difficult. There are only 7 notes in the scale, and there are billions and billions of songs that have been published already. To find something really inspiring takes time. Why do you collaborate with contemporary artists like Ed Sheeran and Josh Groban? We had really beautiful moments together. Every collaboration that I have with another artist is enriching and interesting in its own way. I find it impressive that despite being blind, you still horseback ride, cycle, and water ski. I am always astonished when people are astonished because, for me, this is absolutely normal. I always loved sports and I always loved having new experiences. I never stop. When I see a difficulty, when I see an obstacle, it doesn't stop me. It just makes me feel like I have to work harder to overcome it. B.B. King introduces our jazz and blues music news, and it's published in bestclassicbands.com on the 16th of September 2018, entitled Big J. McNeely, Pioneering R&B Saxist, Dies at 91. His tenor saxophone playing style has been described as honking and screaming, and it was a fixture on many early rock and roll rhythm and blues recordings. Still actively performing in his last years, Big J. McNeely died in Los Angeles of cancer, September 16th, at the age of 91. Big J., influenced by jazz musicians such as Lester Young, studied music formally and began playing saxophone professionally in the late late 1940s. McNeely and his group, the Blue Jays, scored a number one R&B smash with the instrumental, The Deacon's Hop, in 1949. McNeely recorded other singles and numerous albums, but further chart success eluded him. Nonetheless, he continued to blow his horn until 1971, when he quit the music business to work as a postman. He returned during the rock and roll revival of the early 80s and continued to work until just recently, mostly in Europe. McNeely collaborated with Professor Longhair, B.B. King, Etta James, King Curtis, Gene Vincent, Buddy Guy, Booker T and the MGs, Conway Twitty, Ray Stevens, Freddie Fetter, among others. McNeely has been inducted into the R&B Hall of Fame and won the Rhythm and Blues Foundation's Pioneering Award in 2001. And in music research and technology, we have this article by Nigel Stanford, published in tokenrock.com, entitled Cymatics, published in 2014. Is there a connection between sound, vibrations, and physical reality? Yes, and it is called cymatics, spelled C-Y-M-A-T-I-C. Cymatics, the study of wave phenomena, is a science pioneered by Swiss medical doctor and natural scientist Hans Jenny, 1904-1972. It is derived from the Greek ta kaimaka, meaning matters pertaining to waves. In 1967, Dr. Hans Jenny published a book titled Cymatics, inspired by systems theory. Jenny began an investigation of periodic phenomena, but especially the visual display of sound. He conducted experiments animating inert powders, pastes, and liquids into lifelike flowing forms which mirrored patterns found throughout nature, art, and architecture. All of these patterns were created using pure tones, simple sine wave vibrations, within the audible range. He was able to create a physical representation of vibration, of how sound manifests into form through the medium of various materials. His fascinating work offers profound insights into both the physical sciences and esoteric philosophies. It illustrates the very principles which inspired the ancient Greek philosophers. These cymatic images are truly awe-inspiring, not only for their visual beauty in portraying the inherent responsiveness of matter to sound, but also because they inspire a deep recognition that we, too, are part and parcel of this same complex and intricate vibrational matrix. A simple experiment demonstrating the visualization of cymatics can be done by sprinkling sand on a metal plate and vibrating the plate. For example, by drawing a violin bow across the edge, the sand will then form itself into standing wave patterns, such as simple concentric circles. The higher the frequency, the more complex the shapes produced. Today, holistic healing practitioners use the term toning to describe the use of sound waves transmitted through the human body in order to normalize imbalances and synchronize the cell's frequencies back to their natural healthy state of vibrational resonance. Cat Powers, The Greatest, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's a review of Cat Powers' new album entitled Wanderer, and it's given 3 out of 4 stars. This is published in The Week magazine, October 26, 2018. Chan Marshall has made spear music before, but she's never made an album quite like this, said Amanda Farah in DownedLNSound.com. Now 46, the singer-songwriter who performs as Cat Power has stripped her sound back down to the basics she started with in the mid-90s. A husky voice and a strummed guitar, sometimes a bit of piano. But while she's mostly doing without a full band again, this record has a nuance and polish she didn't have in her early years. Two of the highlights express solidarity with other artists, says Katie Moulton in Consequence of Sound.net. Marshall delivers a gorgeous cover of Stay, the 2012 Rihanna hit ballad, and she brings in Lana Del Rey for Woman, a stormy anthem that may be the album's most radio-friendly track. As with every Cat Power album, there are meandering, unmelodic passages where listeners can lose focus. More often, Wanderer is inward-looking and wise on You Get when her unforgettable voice toys with the time signature were enraptured. The a cappella group Straight No Chaser performing Hallelujah introduces our local music news. It's an article entitled Test of Time. Grains of Time, NC State's premier men's a cappella group, celebrates 50 years of harmony. This is written by Kelly McCall Branson, published in Hashtag Creative State, the official magazine of Arts NC State, Fall 2018. A cappella, Italian for In the Manner of the Chapel, is simply unaccompanied vocal music. But when groups of 4 or 8 or 15 come together with perfect pitch, elegant intonation, refined phrasing, a little showmanship, and flawless harmony, it's magic. And that's just what NC State's men's a cappella group, Grains of Time, have been doing for 50 straight years. Back in 1968, when the student population at NC State was mostly male, a group of 7 members of the men's varsity glee club, under the guidance of Milton Bliss, then director of choral activities for NC State's Department of Music, formed a voice and guitar protest band named the State Men. After a few months, the group decided to change their name and became Grains of Time. For the next 50 years, Grains of Time would become a fixture at NC State, campus celebrities and standard bearers for the kind of discipline, excellence, and camaraderie that are the hallmarks of the university. They have traveled and performed in Europe, Asia, Canada, across the U.S., in virtually every corner of North Carolina.
Told the truth, I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
What began as a repertoire of mostly folk ballads has evolved to include everything from barbershop and doo-wop to Irish folk tunes, rock, pop, and even hip-hop, introducing vocal percussion along the way. From Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Peter, Paul & Mary, to Ariana Grande and Drake, the Grains of Time have always reflected their particular moment in time, though they still perform a staple from their earliest years, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And, of course, every generation of Grains of Time, for simply the Grains, as they are affectionately known, is well-versed in their alma mater. They have performed for governors, major league sports events, the Atlanta Braves, the Boston Red Sox, the Golden State Warriors, and the Vancouver Canucks, to name a few. At countless weddings and NC State commencements, they've recorded more than 15 CDs, produced MTV-style music videos, and they mount highly anticipated concerts every semester at Stewart Theater in Tally Student Union, NCSU. As they travel the state together, acting as ambassadors for the university, the Grains developed an easy onstage banter that audiences loved. Showmanship became an integral part of their performance style. It wasn't just about amazing harmonies and great solos, says Brian Gustin, a 90s member of the Grains. We needed something to stand out from the other groups. We learned to work the crowd, own the stage. Al Sturgis, former 13-year director of choral activities for NC State Department of Music and longtime music director of the North Carolina Master Chorale, concurs. Stagecraft, the ability to sell to the audience, became very important to their process. All of the on-stage chemistry that the Grains are known for probably works so well for them because it isn't just an act. Across 5 decades, each and every iteration of this tight-knit group has formed lifelong bonds with their fellow Grains. Dr. Daniel Monach, the current head of the music department, thinks the very nature of a cappella group cultivates these kinds of lasting connections. There's just a generosity of spirit and true collaborativeness, says Monach. The same things that make good a cappella group make for a kind of brotherhood. Taylor Pulliam, current member and most recent Grains president, adds, you know, we're practicing 3 times a week and performing. We have to come together to get along. It does become like a family, a brotherhood. It really is the definition of ensemble, says Dr. Sturgis, making something from all these disparate parts, not to be corny about it, but the making of the music, of the harmonies, it makes a kind of camaraderie, too. With demanding majors like engineering, computer science, and business administration, it's a wonder these young men found time to perform at such a high level. Monach argues that these are exactly the people who should be involved in the Grains. It's a balance of being in biochemistry lab, he says. There are studies showing the mental health benefits of participating in choral singing. Their experience with the Grains gave these young men lifelong friends, a sense of balance in their lives, and helped to develop fundamental skills that contributed to their success in school and in their careers. But it also gave them precious memories of magic moments at concerts far away and right here at NC State. Brian Gustin was so moved by his experience singing at St. Mark's Cathedral in Venice, Italy, that he took his wife there for their 10th anniversary. 20 years ago, I had the privilege to sing at the awe-inspiring Basilica di San Marco with a phenomenal group of men, he writes. Singing Ave Maria in front of the golden altar gave me chills and is an experience I have and will treasure forever. Today I walk through that amazing sanctuary again for the first time since singing there, and I got to experience it with my incredible wife. Chills again. In 2015, the Grains traveled to Tokyo and worked with Grains alumnus Grainpa Ken Akiyama and his collegiate a cappella company, Jacapellas. In their blog about the experience, they quote Stevie Wonder, "Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand, with an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands." In 2013, the Grains lost one of their members, Ian Peterson, to lymphoma. He was a senior and president of the Grains. As Ian lay gravely ill in the ICU, his mother, Cindy, recalls, "I received a text from Grains of Sand on my way back to the hospital. They wanted to come and sing for Ian. I thought there was no way it would be allowed, but one of the nurse heroes made it happen. It was one of the sweetest, most spectacular, heart-crushing things I have ever experienced. And there were always lighter moments as well, like when the Grains performed in Great Britain. We were singing Under the Boardwalk, and it was introduced to the audience as a shagging song. Well, that caused quite a stir with our British audience, who take a different meaning for shagging. Dan Monek says 50 years is a long time, and it makes a strong statement about the quality of their leadership. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, which famous composer has two skulls in this tomb? And I played a snippet from one of this Austrian composer's better-known compositions, Emperor's Hymn, as a hint. Correct answer was answer B, Joseph Haydn. After his burial in 1809, Joseph Haydn's head was stolen by phrenologists, and a replacement skull was left in his tomb. In 1954, the real skull was finally returned, but the substitute was not removed. Thus, Haydn's tomb now contains two skulls. And the answer to our first question, which Johnny Cash song did an advertising company want to use for hemorrhoids ad? The answer is answer A, Ring of Fire. As noted in songfacts.com, Johnny Cash's estate was approached by an advertising company seeking permission to use Ring of Fire in an ad for hemorrhoid cream. The request was refused. In 2004, the writer of this song, Merle Kilgore, thought it was funny. Liked the idea. He sometimes made hemorrhoid jokes when introducing the song in concert. Cash's daughter, Roseanne, though, thought it would demean the song and refused to allow its use. June Carter wrote the lyrics about her relationship with Johnny Cash. She felt being around Cash was like being in a ring of fire. Cash was involved in drugs and had a very volatile lifestyle. Johnny claimed that June saved his life by helping him get off drugs. June died in 2003 after 35 years of marriage to Johnny. According to Rolling Stone magazine, June Carter wrote this song while driving around aimlessly one night, worried about Cash's wild man ways and aware that she couldn't resist him. There's no way to be in that kind of hell, no way to extinguish a flame that burns, 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 she wrote. Cash had a dream that he was singing it with mariachi horns. Cash's version became one of his biggest hits. So let's close out today's program with an instrumental version of this Johnny Cash song that almost became a commercial hit, Ring of Fire. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long. Until next time.